Yes, I do know the victim. My understanding is that she is in critical condition and unable to help with the investigation at this time. Yes, of course. I do plan on visiting her, yes. Just as soon as the doctors tell me she can receive visitors.
Ta-da! Just like I promised. That was me up there on the TV screen. What a coincidence, huh? Did you miss me, Doctor? I sure missed you. Oh, I know you can't answer with your face all wrapped up like that. Don't worry, I won't take it personally. Don't you just love this time of year? I know I do. Too bad you can't see the view out your window. It's just beautiful. Despite your naughty little antics, I'm feeling, what, hopeful, perhaps? Yes, that's it. Giddy, even. You know why? Transformation is in the air. It's a time of change. You haven't been with me long enough to know. I don't know if you've really even seen my sentimental side. It's no accident that I've chosen this time of year for my birthday, for our little foreign exchange program. That is how I've come to think of it over the years. Isn't that silly? Really, I am a poet in my soul. Or I would be, if I had one. Which explains you too, doesn't it? Balance. Give and take.
Give it to me!
No! You'll destroy everything with it!
I lost my doctor. And the universe saw fit to deliver you to my door. So pretty. So broken. So mad. And then with a name like October, what am I, made of steel? We're getting close now, Linda. We are like lizard eggs snuck into a bird's nest. One at a time, every year one more. Chicago keeps us warm and safe in her bosom, blissfully ignorant of the fact that these children she fosters are the instruments of her demise. And I see you got my flowers. I thought the pumpkin theme was a nice touch. Overkill? What can I say? I'm a sucker for a pretty face. Speaking of which, your transformation, eh? Shall we see how you have emerged from your cocoon, little butterfly? It's like Christmas in October, Linda. And I am a lucky, lucky devil. Linda? Guard!
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
What is this?
What is what, sir?
This, you idiot! Right here in the bed, what is it?
It's a pumpkin, sir. A jack-o'-lantern.
Exactly. Yeah! Find her! Find Linda!
Tommy and I have taken refuge in a hotel room to examine the file. The contents are scattered on the desk and the beds and taped to the walls. There are reports and newspaper clippings, all about seemingly unrelated and unremarkable people, but the names have been collated on a master list. Tommy is searching the internet for more information. I'm staring out the window at the glowing storefronts, several stories down.
Got her.
Who was she?
Another missing person, Georgia Lacks. Went missing 1964, looks like. You think she's you?
I don't know. The name sounds familiar, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, dude.
What?
She was black.
What?
Or African-American, I guess. Is that possible? Do you feel African-American?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I am kind of dumb about this stuff.
Yes.
You sure any of this means anything? Maybe the good doctor just, you know, collecting clippings in her spare time.
The box that brought me here came from her office. This file came from her office. It was the only file in the only locked file drawer in the place. This all means something.
Vaughn should have called by now.
He can't. I turned your phone off.
What? What the hell? Why?
Because if somebody else has his phone, they'll use it to find us before we're ready.
How the hell is Vaughn supposed to find us? Do we shoot up a flare?
He's got a tracker on his laptop.
Dude, how do you know that?
I can see it.
No, how do you know what it is?
I don't know.
You're not from 1964. That much is for damn sure. Read me another name.
Flora Chambers.
Flora Chambers. Oh, now this is interesting. There's a Sun-Times piece that references both Flora Chambers and Georgia Lacks. It's archived, so I can't get to it, but it's by someone named Elisa Cameron?
I know that name.
Is it on the list?
Yes, yes, right here. Elisa Cameron.
That's it. She's missing too. Disappeared in 2007.
I look over his shoulder at the screen. The title of the article is When the Invisible Disappear. And next to the byline is a pencil sketch of a young woman.
Dude, what is this? What did we find?
Tommy, I'm Elisa Cameron.
Dude, you're a reporter. Vaughn is gonna freak.
True to her word, Caroline got me sprung from jail. Come on, pick up.
Can't get to the phone right now, bro. My bad. You know what to do.
Damn it, Tommy. And true to her word, I never saw her again.
Hey, guy. You Vaughn Barnes?
This from the heavy-set driver of a black sedan.
Yeah? Who's asking?
You're right. Lady gave me a 50 to bring you to her. Hop in.
What lady?
You got more than one? She didn't give me a name.
I've known since childhood not to accept rides from strangers. But my options are limited. I gamble that an apparition sent the car. In fairness, she doesn't have a name.
The shocking attack at Opal Phillith Innovations is still under investigation, further complicated by the disappearance of Dr. Linda October from Holy Cross Medical Center. The
Bobby, turn it off. Baby, supper's ready and there's nothing more you can do. Turn it off.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Tough day all around. Do you want to talk about it?
Not really. You?
Not even a little bit.
You smell good.
The driver doesn't say a word on the entire trip to the Skylark Motel.
Room 116.
He stares at me in the rearview mirror.
Thanks.
It's been swell. I'm barely out of the way when he backs out of the space and drives off into the night. At least he dropped me off in front of room 116. A figure in a black cloak of some kind, a wide-brimmed hat. The light by the door shines harshly on a black mask that reveals one wide blue eye and a crooked smile bracketed by red scars. I'm so paralyzed by shock that I can't react fast enough when the figure's fist stabs toward my chest. I look down to see a syringe pressed against my shirt. That means the needle is in me. I don't feel it. The numbness spreads outward as the hypodermic is pulled away. Then I'm looking up at the figure in black. Did I fall? I don't remember.
I'm Dr. October, Mr. Barnes. It's a pleasure to meet you. Oh, it's all right. Don't get up.
I'm in the dark, and for a while, I don't mind staying there. I have a feeling that outside of the dark is not a happy place. And gradually, that feeling becomes a certainty. I can't move, and there's something in my mouth. Am I in traction? On a ventilator? In the hospital? Was I in an accident? With some effort, I managed to pry my eyes open. There are flickering candles all around me. Nope, not the hospital. Something black blocks my vision.
Good morning, sunshine.
The hat, the mask, the blue eye, the slashed-up grin. Dr. October. I remember now. I wish I didn't.
Sorry about the needle and the sedative and whatnot. Not how I usually greet a gentleman caller, I assure you. But I'm feeling a little fragile just now. Not quite fit for human consumption, as the saying goes, not yet. Better for all of us this way. Don't you agree, Mr. Barnes? Oh, would you relax? I'm not going to eat you. For heaven's sake, it was a joke. Do I look like a monster to you? Good answer. Tell you a secret. Our fair city is bursting with pretty monsters. They're everywhere. Thanks to this.
October holds up a small box. I don't recognize it, but I have a pretty good idea what it is.
Werner Childress invented it back in the 40s. Extraordinary man, Mr. Childress. Well before his time. Bit prone to superstition, alas. Thought he'd worked out a way to open the gates of heaven. Not so much. He should have known. Nature and science both demand balance. Werner's little grandson just happened to be in the way when the first exchange took place. Last words were something like, "Way to go, Grandpa, I bet." Bobby was the first traveler and Childress was the first host. Safe to say Bobby liked it better on this side of the pass. Started making plans to bring over a few friends. Trouble was, Bobby couldn't work the books. Didn't let that stop him, though. Bobby exploited every connection old man Childress had. Ingratiated himself to the wealthy and the powerful. Worked his way up until he made his way into the Chambers family and found me. Fun fact, did you know that there's been at least one Chambers in City Hall every year since 1955? You ever wonder about that? Bobby sculpted me. Paid for my education, focused all my energy on solving a single problem. The box. I was 22 years old when I figured it out. Bobby! Bobby! It was the crystal. Each crystal is like a code key for a particular exchange. All I had to do was find another crystal with the right structure, and we could bring over another traveler. Are you proud of me?
Am I?
It wasn't easy to find the right properties. Every year I went through thousands, only to find one. It was hard work, but it made each exchange feel special. So special. We make an occasion of it. Once a year, every year, we sneak away from the gala and welcome a new traveler.
What is that? Let me go! Please, please, no!
Of course, nature does demand balance. And nature is a cruel mistress. Still, those were the good old days. You know what I did wrong? Well, I got old. That was my first mistake. You know what else? Artificially manufactured crystals. I went and made myself obsolete. He distanced himself from me, Mr. Barnes. Fed me some nonsense about how he needed to foster media ties. I can't understand you. Oh, all right. Silly me, let me just remove this.
Caroline! The woman he's replaced you with, her name is Caroline. Look, lady, I want to help you, okay? You let me live, and I will help you get him away from her. I'll do whatever you want.
You thought I was going to kill you. Like, this was all some kind of, "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die." Scene? Oh, that's rich.
I don't understand.
Mr. Barnes, I know who Caroline is. I know who she is to you. I am in need of two services, which you are uniquely situated to provide. One, I need something precious to Miss Hitchens. Something I can take from her the way she took my Bobby from me.
I swear, lady, if you think that Caroline gives a rat's...
Don't argue against your own best interests, Mr. Barnes. And two, I need a new partner. Tall, dark, and handsome would be my preference, but you'll do. But most importantly, I need him to be strong. Are you strong, Mr. Barnes?
I don't know what to say to this woman. She's clearly completely frickin' nuts. I'm roped to the head and footboard of the bed like a medieval torture victim. And who would hear me scream in a half-empty motel in the middle of the night? Then she picks up a wine glass from the nightstand. She holds up the jagged glass by the stem.
If I'm to have my proper revenge, I'll need a strong man at my side.
Please, lady, I don't...
I'm trying to make this special for you, Vaughn. This pageantry means as much as anything. Maybe more.
A black silhouette looms behind her. The candlelight reflects off two eyes. They start to glow red. The candlelight reflects off long, curving teeth. I'm hallucinating. It's the drugs, the pain, the fear. Dear God, I have to be hallucinating.
It's an honor to be chosen as a host, Vaughn. After all the time and effort I've put into explaining, you understand that, don't you, Vaughn?
No!
Can you handle it?
No!
Guess we'll find out.
I'm dreaming. Turns out I dream. Or I nightmare, anyway. Something, I don't know what, is chasing me down a corridor lined with doors. Behind each door, there's a detail about Elisa Cameron. The person I was before... Before what? Before I was this. Before I was a killer. Before I was... a ghost. Elisa Cameron. Born and raised in Chicago. She had a sister named Margot. A single father.
Good job, Elisa, honey.
He was a cop. The only thing she ever wanted to be was a reporter. Or at least... reporter was close enough. She spent a year working on a piece about missing Chicagoans. She identified a pattern, and then...
Sometimes reporter Elisa Cameron is still missing. It has now been...
They never found Elisa's body. They never found me. None of these things are memories. They're details Tommy and I dug up on the internet. But somewhere here... behind one of these doors, there's a real memory. If I can just find it before... There! No! Too late. An enormous face. Red skin shimmering with heat. Eyes pulsating with flame. Horns burst from his forehead. A poisonous black tongue lolls from his leering grin. No! No!
What? What?
Bits of memories come back, like shards of light stabbing at the darkness. It hurts. I need to move, and fast.
Dude, what are you doing? Where are you?
I know who did this to me. And now that I do, there's going to be hell to pay. I remember a place that must be the Sun-Times newsroom. I'm at my desk, looking at this morning's edition. My article about missing persons is on the front page. The date in the upper right-hand corner is October 31st, 2007.
Boo!
You're not funny, Margot.
You love me.
I do not love you. I never loved you.
I'm your sister. You have to love me.
I have filed an appeal.
To who?
To whom?
I asked you first.
To God, to Dad. I don't know. It was a joke. I have not actually filed an appeal to be excused from loving you.
Good. So, lunch. Where are we going?
I can't go.
What? Why?
Because I'm going to the mayor's birthday thing, and I need to figure out what I'm going to say. Do. Say and do. I need a plan.
Get out! You're going to do something fun? Who are you, and what have you done with my sister?
It's not fun, Margot. It's work.
Whatever, Grumpus. Tickets to the black and white ball go for like twice my yearly salary.
You sell cinnamon rolls at the mall.
What are you going to wear?
Margot and I could not have been more different. I always made the honor roll. She always made friends. I couldn't have cared less about my appearance. She spent most of her meager salary on clothes and makeup. And truth be told, when Margot asked me what I was going to wear to a major social event that I was attending in only a few hours, I realized, to my embarrassment, that I hadn't even thought about it. So, after a quick deli stop for turkey wraps to go, we ended up in the formal dress section of a high-end department store downtown.
So wait, Your plan is to accost the man at his birthday party and accuse him of hiding a serial killer?
No, that is not my plan.
Good, because that's a lousy plan. He's got, like, bodyguards and stuff, you know?
I don't have a plan yet, exactly.
Nothing beyond accost the man at his birthday party, you mean? Are you going to eat your wrap?
No.
Good, because I already ate it.
Okay.
The dress was white. Soft, gathered fabric wrapped the strapless bodice, forming a plunging neckline. The long, flowing skirt was slit all the way up my left thigh. More fabric was draped across the back, forming an optional cowl. I was torn between thinking I looked okay and feeling ridiculously overexposed. The decision was in Margot's hands. What do you think?
I think the mayor is going to totally die when he sees you.
5 years ago, I was a cub reporter. I had discovered a pattern of missing persons going back more than 30 years. I went to the paper, the police, the aldermen. No one gave a good goddamn. But I had more guts than brains. Decided if the mayor wouldn't take my calls, I'd bring the problem to his front door. I wanted to be a hero, a voice for the voiceless, a representative of the dead. Careful what you wish for, kid. I'm back, Mr. Mayor. Fate and fortune conspired to bring us together again.
First Chicago, then the world, eh?
He's wearing a Red Devil mask. That's what the real Bobby Chambers looks like. I'm the only one here who knows. Or maybe not.
No, but in all seriousness, friends, this night is my New Year's Eve. This is the evening I reflect on what we have accomplished and how far we have yet to go. Ever onward, eh? To our progress, friends. Progress!
You haven't changed one bit. I slip unnoticed through the crowd of women in white dresses and men in black evening wear. Except for the party masks that everyone is wearing or carrying, it looks like some massive cult wedding. I didn't come in through the front door. I didn't come in through any door. But Tommy needs one to get in. I head for the service entrance.
Yo, Tommy Byers makes his penguin suit look good. Am I right?
Quiet. This way. Fortunately for us, the waitstaff is circulating with champagne and canapes, and no one sees us re-enter the ballroom.
Black and white ball. Luckily, white's already your color.
Luck had nothing to do with it.
Whoa. Dude.
What?
That's how you make an entrance.
I follow his gaze. Plenty of other people are also looking at the woman at the top of the staircase. She defies protocol by wearing a black dress that covers everything but her shapely left leg. She wears a broad-brimmed black hat and a mask that leaves only her left eye and mouth exposed. Red scars are visible even from this distance. Still, I know that face. I remember it from when I was alive.
Someone knows how to make an entrance.
I was the only person who arrived at the mayor's residence in a cab rather than a limo. I was standing before a bouncer with a list. He was polite and wore a tux, but I know a bouncer when I see one. I was beginning to suspect I'd spent a month's salary on a formal gown for nothing, but the friendly smile on the attractive blonde woman behind the bouncer gave me a glimmer of hope.
I'm sorry, but I don't have any...
Elisa Cameron! She's meant to be on the list, darling. I'm calling an audible on this one. If anyone has an issue, have them find me.
Yes, ma'am.
Right this way.
I'm sorry, how did you know my...
Oh, I am a great admirer of your work, Miss Cameron. The mayor and I both are.
You're kidding.
Really, I'm not. He's been dying to meet you.
The mayor of Chicago is dying to meet... Me?
Indeed he is.
We approached a tall figure who was entertaining a small group of impeccably dressed glitterati. Even from the back, he's unmistakable.
Bobby, darling, you'll never guess who's here.
Whatever happened to Dr. Linda October in the years since that night, she earned it.
You are never gonna guess who's here.
Who?
Fine!
He's behind the table piled with birthday gifts for the mayor, adding a gaily wrapped black and white box to the pile. He doesn't look up as we approach.
Bro, I just want you to know, I was not in favor of leaving you in the pokey, all right? I mean, if it was up to me...
Vaughn turns and snags a glass of champagne from a waiter's tray, then walks away.
What? You gonna leave me hanging, bro?
Tommy looks almost comically stricken.
Dude, he is pissed.
Maybe. Vaughn tosses back the champagne and approaches a woman who is standing close to Mayor Chambers.
Oh no. Bad idea, bro.
Why? Who is she?
Caroline.
His ex?
May I have this dance?
Vaughn, what are you doing? What are you doing here?
Caroline, don't be rude. He's here because he was invited. Where's your mask, Vaughn, my boy? I'm wearing it. Dance with the man, Caroline.
Bobby, are you out of your mind? Don't you...
Dance.
The mayor puts his devil mask back on.
You heard the mayor.
Caroline looks angry, then confused, then afraid, as Vaughn grabs her waist and her hand. Her other hand tries to hold him off as they begin to dance.
You look beautiful, Caroline.
Go to hell, Vaughn.
Been there, done that.
A few feet away, Bobby has turned to Linda October, who waves her pumpkin mask on a stick like a magic wand. His devil mask is off. The external one, anyway.
You look good, Bobby.
Where's my box, bitch?
Manners. I have this thing, and it's golden. I'm not just giving it up for nothing.
Hilarious. Don't screw with me, Linda. Tell me what you want, and tell me now.
Her. I want her to go away.
Is that what this is about? Are you jealous, Doctor? My dear Linda, you do wear your malice well.
He raises his right hand, and I remember that gesture from a totally different time.
The mayor would love to discuss the investigation with you, but you understand, this is a highly confidential matter. Just down this way.
Wait, right now? In the middle of his party?
We don't want you to think that this is anything but our highest priority.
The mayor was standing down the corridor by an open, darkened doorway.
I'm sure we could talk about this on Monday.
Please, don't be silly.
You've obviously worked very hard on this.
The mayor smiled at me and gestured to the open doorway.
You have questions that deserve immediate answers.
I stepped uncertainly through the door. In front of me, pitch darkness.
I can't totally see where I'm going here. Maybe one of you should lead? I'm afraid I...
You should be.
I flew into the blackness. Before I lost consciousness completely, the spike heel of a woman's dress shoe was pressed to my throat. A flaming torch lit half of Linda October's face.
You want the story, cub? Ask.
And ye shall receive.
When I saw Vaughn dancing Caroline toward the same corridor I had gone down all those years ago, everything became blindingly clear. I told Tommy in no uncertain terms to stay put. I grabbed the box I had seen Vaughn put on the gift table and followed them. Once away from the crowd, I went through the walls to that basement room. Now I'm hovering in the shadows near the ceiling, out of reach of the light from that ridiculous torch. This time, Caroline is the one on the floor at the bottom of the stairs, but someone else's foot is on her chest.
Bobby, you're hurting me. What is this? What's happening?
The box. Now, Linda.
Vaughn appears at the top of the stairs.
It's gone!
What do you mean, it's gone?
I hid it on the gift table like you said, and now it's gone!
Bobby charges up the stairs, leaving Caroline on the floor and Linda staring stupidly after him. I'm about to go back through the wall. When I see Caroline struggle to her feet, Linda turns directly into Caroline's hard right cross. Oh, you go, Caroline. Still clutching the box, I melt through the wall and materialize near the high ceiling of the ballroom, where the once festive crowd is standing close together around the perimeter.
Fools!
Confusion and fear is on their faces as they stare at Bobby Chambers. He's in front of the gift table. Some of the boxes are on the floor. His fists are clenched, his face almost as red as his true identity.
Mr. Mayor, are you looking for something in particular?
The butler barely avoids the thrown gift box.
Where is it? Which of you fools has stolen it from me?
Bobby turns to follow the crowd's gaze. Caroline enters the ballroom from the corridor, carrying the torch from the secret basement.
Limber up, Mayor, because you're about to kiss your ass goodbye.
Are you threatening me?
I want to warn her not to get too close. Too late. The big cloth from the gift table engulfs Caroline and the torch. A security guard steps forward, pistol leveled at Bobby.
Mr. Mayor, I have to ask you to step back.
Don't!
He moves impossibly fast.
No!
And now the devil has a gun pointed at the fleeing crowd. Vaughn is pulling the burning cloth off of Caroline. Her dress smolders. She seems to be semi-conscious.
Get your hands off her! Vaughn! I don't know what's happening to you, but I swear...
It's her! She knows where it is. I know she knows!
The crowd is mostly gone. I have to put a stop to this. I lower myself to the floor.
Run, you mewling sheep!
Stop! I have it! I have the box!
Bobby turns to look at me. His eyes are flaming. His snarl morphs into something resembling a grin as I rip the paper and bow off his present.
Elisa Cameron, as I live and breathe.
I pull the top off the box, and there it is, softly glowing.
Not for long, Bobby. I'm sending you back where you came from.
His expression falters as I lift it into view. When I regained consciousness, I was strapped to a chair. A ball gag was in my mouth, the fastenings cutting into my face. Linda was holding that same glowing box. She was smiling in anticipation.
Tell the fellas I send my love, will you?
Bobby turned to her, raised his hand, and brought it down. It burned for a minute, and then I was in another world. Everything was gray. Not all the same shade, of course. There was stark, glaring, almost white gray, all the way to dead black shadows. All around me were shabby storefronts. Tattered curtains waved listlessly from broken windows. The constant breeze occasionally lifted a shred of paper in the street. There was a dim sun in the murky sky, and it was sometimes blocked by constantly roiling clouds. There was nothing else living that I could see. I was afraid to move, but afraid to stay in the middle of the street.
Hello? Hello?
So I started walking. I glanced around constantly, not sure what I was looking for, hopeful yet terrified, mostly terrified. It wasn't hell, or it was, but not the hell I learned about on Sundays. It was our world, but different. A shade of an alternate plane. In my peripheral vision, something moved. I turned in circles, trying to pin it down.
Hello?
The black shadow of an alley across the street suddenly seemed to come alive. I ran to the closest door. The dim light from the window revealed empty shelves, a counter, garbage. A convenience store? The light was suddenly blocked. A huge, glistening head stuck through the window. The rest of it was too big to get in. I ran blindly to the back of the store and right into a wall in the dark. I searched frantically until I found a door latch. I opened the heavy door, just wide enough to slip in. No! In the total darkness, my fingers searched the inside door handle for a lock. Instead, I found a heavy metal bracket bolted to the door frame, another to the door. On a shelf next to the door, a thick block of wood. I dropped it into place. The space I had stumbled into was a walk-in refrigerator that someone had turned into a refuge. There was a lantern, a mattress, and most of all, weapons. Everything from a standard crowbar and a range of knives to an AK-47 and boxes of ammo.
There was no food, but I didn't seem to need it. I was hungry, and thought sometimes of the turkey wrap that my sister had eaten instead of me. But the hunger just became a constant dull ache that I was able to ignore. It slowly dawned on me that I was supposed to die there. But I didn't. I had to leave my refuge if I was going to find a way out. I started carrying simple weapons for defense. It wasn't long before they found me. I learned to survive. I learned to hunt them the way they'd hunted the others. It wasn't their home. They got there the same way they got here. Some genius opened a door, like a disease creeping into the bloodstream through a cut in the skin. They began to infect it. They consumed and destroyed that world and nearly everyone in it. And then they were stuck, starving, waiting for someone in another world, our world, to open a door. But here, we fight back.
Give me the box, Elisa.
Bobby has the gun pointed at Caroline. She's still on the floor.
Give me the box!
Do it! Kill her!
Linda crouches over Caroline, who suddenly sits straight up, clutching the stick end of Dr. October's party mask. She stabs it into Linda's neck. Bobby raises the pistol again at Caroline's head.
Get off her!
And Tommy tackles him. The pistol goes flying.
You.
Now Vaughn is coming at me. Bobby is stunned on the floor. Tommy has scrambled back to his feet to retrieve the gun.
Tommy!
He turns toward me. I hold out the box.
Catch!
Got it!
Uh-oh.
Bobby is sitting up, but I can't help Tommy. Vaughn is on me, but it isn't him. I've seen those dead glowing eyes before. Maybe it even knows me. Part of me is tethered to that in-between place. If I focus, I can control how much. I reach a shadow of myself into Vaughn's chest. I feel it. I grab it.
You all right, Vaughn?
Yeah.
Without the protection of a host, it's vulnerable. It can be killed. It can burn.
Yo!
I don't know how Tommy has evaded the mayor's attacks, but he still has the box. He throws, and I catch. I hold the box in the flames, which don't affect me in this state, and look at Bobby Chambers.
Come and get it! You! This is all your fault! Get away from me, you crazy bitch!
Linda is still menacing Caroline, unaware that Vaughn is coming up behind her.
Hey, lady.
What?
Back off!
Caroline, we gotta get you out of here. Vaughn, are you...
Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy kneels and lifts Caroline in his arms.
Get her out, man. Make sure she's safe.
Don't ask me twice, bro.
Tommy heads for the stairs. Caroline looks over his shoulder.
Vaughn, you ass! Don't die!
Bobby is standing a few yards away. He's smiling. His eyes are burning as brightly as the growing flames.
I will kill you for this.
Mr. Mayor, you already did. You want this box? Take it!
The hot box is searing his hands, but he refuses to let go.
Here!
Vaughn has the pistol Bobby dropped. He tosses it, and I take aim at the box. Bobby drops the box, and his body arches in agony as light that overwhelms the flames around him blasts from his eyes and mouth.
Bobby!
He falls backward as inky tendrils burst out of his chest and rapidly swirl together to form a horrific shadow. A contorted horned head, enormous arms, membranous wings that spread wide above it. Glowing red eyes find Linda October, who stands mesmerized. She must know what's going to happen next. The devil's tendrils engulf Linda and drive her toward the flames.
but her clothes are untouched as the swirling darkness is absorbed into her. Finally, she stands, a vision in a roaring hell, her one eye glowing red.
Mary!
Vaughn doesn't know my real name yet. He's still weak. I need to get him out of here.
Come on!
I grab his hand and pull him as fast as he can manage toward the staircase to the main entrance. The great double doors are engulfed in flames.
It's too late. We're trapped. We've got to find another way out.
I feel something pulling against me. Something from that other plane. The box was destroyed, so where is it coming from? I glance around frantically for a crystal. A crystal? I look up. The huge crystal chandelier hangs far above, shimmering in the flame and heat.
Can you hear me?
The need to save Vaughn's life is stronger than the pull from the crystals. I grab his arm and guide him out of the ballroom. We hide out for a day and meet late the next night at the Parthenon Diner. I'm back in my solid form. Tommy, true to his form, has been delivering rambling speculations about the events in the ballroom. Vaughn and I are too numb to respond, and Tommy finally notices.
Are you even listening to me?
Tommy, shut up. The diner door opens, and Caroline comes in. She was treated in the emergency room for second-degree burns and released. A scarf covers her singed hair.
No, I'm not okay, so don't ask.
Caroline, would you... Do you want to sit?
I'm not staying.
She slips off her large shoulder bag and upends it over the table. Crystals of various sizes scatter among the empty plates and coffee cups.
You were right. They were in the chandelier.
How many?
32.
How'd you get them? Caroline slides into the booth next to Tommy.
I've got a lot of sympathy in the department right now.
I don't get it. What are they?
The crystals from the box.
Each one of these crystals corresponds to an exchange. A replaced person.
A demon.
We don't know what they are.
We have to call them something.
Yeah, but...
Demon works. No point in sugarcoating the situation. They know I'm the expert here. Vaughn looks down at his empty coffee cup. I do feel for him. He's something of an expert, too.
You're saying there are 32 demons hiding in the city of Chicago?
Yes.
So what are we going to do?
I look at the few people in the other booths. Young, old, in between. All shapes and sizes. All distinct, but unremarkable. A couple of pedestrians pass by outside, in and out of the light shining from the diner's large window. What we have to do, Tommy. Any one of them could be dangerous. All of them are in danger. What we have to do. We're going to find them.
Ghost Volume 1 in the Smoke and Din is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2013, Dark Horse Comics, all rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of Dark Horse Comics. Production copyright 2021, Graphic Audio LLC, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Nanette Savard as Elisa Cameron, Wynn Delano as Vaughn Barnes, Jason Keller as Tommy Byers, Christopher Williams as Bobby Chambers, Nicolette Kong as Linda October, and Debbie Tinsley as Caroline Hitchens, with David Quiqui, Megan Poppy, Bradley Foster Smith, Steve Wanall, Richard Rowan, Scott McCormick, Nazia Chaudhry, Terrence Aselford, Eric Messner, Alejandro Ruiz, and Ken Jackson. Adapted for Graphic Audio and directed by Nanette Savard. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Michael Hanusiak and Robert McDonald. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producer, Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Ghost, Be sure to look for Vagrant Queen, Wasted Space, Cemetery Girl, and many other graphic novel adaptations available at www.graphicaudio.net.
Graphic Audio and Dark Horse Comics present X, Big Bad, Volume 1.
Look, can we get down to business already?
What business is that, Duroc? This silly X-killer thing?
A masked vigilante known only as X dispenses justice without mercy to the criminals who ruled the decaying city of Arcadia.
You all remember what happened to Havana Mike, don't you?
Okay, fine. I suppose this matter requires some degree of action.
You may be asking yourself, how did a little old muckraker manage to track down the mystery man who's eluded the entire Arcadia PD?
When muckraking blogger Lee Ferguson snoops down the wrong alley, she gets swept into X's bloody war with a politically powerful crime lord.
No! No talking! I want bleeding!
Bleeding it is, then.
Dwayne Spierzynski and Eric Nguyen dish out non-stop visceral action with Dark Horse's most brutal and exciting character, X.
I understand now why you're doing this, and I can help. There's far more corruption in this town than Berkshire and his pigs. I was able to scratch away at part of it when I was a reporter, but you can do so much more. Let me stay, help you.
You'll probably die.
Then at least I won't have to worry about finding another newspaper gig.
It's your funeral.
X, Big Bad, Volume 1, coming soon from Graphic Audio.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.